Support for Millennial comes from Squarespace. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code Millennial at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase. Growing up, I was the kid on the block with the lemonade stand. In middle school, I sold homemade necklaces at college football games, and in high school, I had my own duct tape wallet business. First day of work, 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 work. You could say I've been preparing myself to work for myself since I was little. Now that the first day of the rest of my life is here, I'm pumped.
What am I doing today? I'm going to make a list. I'm going to bring out my favorite pen to help me make that list.
I have my legal pad, my good Pilot G2 pen, and I'm feeling good. Millennial is now my full-time job, which means I need to double my production if I hope to make a living at this. But how hard could that be? But then, 7 hours pass, and all I've done is answer emails and research how to register Millennial as a business instead of working on an episode. Time is ticking by, and I'm thinking to myself, how did I become my own boss again? Especially because I don't know anything about running a business. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about what no one teaches you, how to maneuver your 20s captured in real time. When I left my job, I knew that it didn't mean things would be easy, especially because I'm literally trying to turn a passion project into a real adult business, and I have no idea what I'm doing.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Hey Chuck, Megan Tan here. I'm just calling because I have some sponsors for the podcast, which means that I probably should register Millennial as an LLC, and I have no idea how to do that. So I just wanted to call and see if you could offer some guidance.
When I have logistical life questions, what's better than Google? Chuck Severance, Ben's father. He's had his own business for more than 20 years.
Are you at work?
I'm working from home today.
Excuse the shit out of me.
Business lesson number one. Find someone like Chuck who knows everything there is to know about creating a business.
So you're not registered with the state of Maine, right?
I am not registered with the state of Maine.
And you don't have a millennial checkbook.
And I do not have a millennial checkbook. I haven't done anything for a millennial to be a company.
Do you know what an LLC is?
Yes.
No. Not really.
Then they're going to send you a 1099 at the end of the year, right? You know that.
Yeah.
Again, not really. All I do know is when you have your own business...
taxes suck. And I have to have a business checking account.
If you want to do that, then all you do is open a business checking account, and it would read probably DBA, doing business as... mm-hmm. Millennial the podcast, or whatever you want to call it.
Do I have to physically go someplace to do this?
I mean, wouldn't it be awesome if there was an app to take care of life's annoying logistics? But there's not. Business lesson number two. There's no day but today.
Hi, Larry. My name is Megan Tan. I work for a show. It's like a radio show. It's called Millennial.
Order business cards? Check. Make a budget? Check.
I am applying to have my own business out of my home.
Yeah.
No.
You see the problem internal.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Registering things with the state. Woohoo! Making shit happen. This is fun. This is nuts. Register my business name with the state. Check. I do not have an accountant.
I have a great accountant who specializes in small business.
Open up a business bank account? Check.
Because what Ben said is, the government is going to take 30% of whatever's left.
Open up a business savings account? Check.
Keep track of everything you spend.
A cup of regular coffee? I'll use my business card.
Save all your receipts.
Keep track of all of my expenses? Check.
Are you doing QuickBooks? Are you using...
I am.
And then do you go through and periodically... categorize them.
So you have faith that I could do my own taxes.
Figure out taxes? Enough? Check.
Okay.
Eligibility for health coverage.
All right.
And what type of income do you have? Are you self-employed? Do you work a job?
Self-employed.
Look into my own health insurance. Check.
So we'll see you Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. Just email us.
That's exciting. Hi.
It's so exciting.
Yay. I'm so happy we're doing this.
Oh, how legit.
And we'll have a little coffee maker.
Yeah. Find an office. Check.
Yeah, lots of adult things happening.
Wow. You're taking your first big step.
Yeah, lots of big steps.
Periodically call my mom and tell her how I'm growing up. Check.
Gotta do my work, 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 work. Gotta meet a deadline. Deadline, deadline, deadline. Oh, I feel like I work now more than ever. Like my brain is constantly buzzing. Breathe. Relax your shoulders. Enjoy the sun. Be appreciative of where you are.
Business lesson number 3. When you get stressed out, appreciate the moment.
So, that's $4,000. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you have $6,500 confirmed for the year. How many episodes per month?
After dinner, Ben and I periodically sit down at our kitchen counter and crunch numbers. Now that Millennial is my full-time job, in order to live off of it, I have to increase the number of episodes I release per month. Because more episodes mean more sponsorship spots, and more sponsorship spots mean a steady income. But having more episodes means more work. But when I look around my office, it's just me. The production has increased, but the number of people on staff has stayed the same. And to be honest, I'm a month into making Millennial full-time, and I'm already feeling guilty because I can't keep up with my project deadlines.
Welcome to She Does Podcast. I'm Elaine Sheldon.
And I'm Sarah Ginsberg.
This is 99% Invisible. I'm Roman Mars.
Hi, I'm Tally, and this is First Day Back.
Welcome to Homemade Stories number 83. I'm Shannon Kaysen.
Okay, but while I'm listening to other podcasts, I wonder, how do they do it? How do they make good work and run a business? Business lesson number 4. Learn from those who have gone before you.
Do you mind if I record this conversation? Is that okay?
Oh, I generally just like record everybody's conversation.
That's so funny.
So I call up Lauren. Lauren is the producer of the podcast Criminal.
I'm Phoebe Judge. This is Criminal.
Which is hosted by Phoebe Judge. They both started Criminal as a passion project alongside their full-time jobs. Then when their show started to get popular, they doubled their production, joined a network, and now they have millions of listeners.
I feel like we always feel like each episode is the worst episode. Oh, so that feeling doesn't go away. Certainly doesn't go away. I feel like it kind of gets worse too, because you're like, oh, my audience is bigger than it was this time last year. That's like more people who can be like, you suck.
Yep, I totally feel that.
I just wanted to ask you about workflow and like how, because I feel like right now I'm trying to get into looking for stories at the same time of being in production. And I'm like, how do you do this?
Phoebe and I met working on this Daily Show. So we're pretty used to like hustling pretty hard. And then I think we just are pretty good at being able to say to one another, like, I think that's boring.
It must be nice having two people.
So after the first edit, like, we'll restructure it, and then whoever's taking the lead will go back and recut the tape, and then we'll have a second edit. Sometimes we have a third complete edit, or like a fourth, which is when we know we're really losing our minds. One of the two of us will take the lead on the mix. So like if Phoebe's done like the mix, and I'll listen to it and be like, that's too long of a pause, that's short of a pause, that music's too loud, blah, blah. And then we make it so we're both really happy with the session, and then we send it to Rob.
As Lauren keeps saying we, or one of the two of us, or both of us, I realize it's Lauren and Phoebe. They make it work because they're a team. But when I'm making Millennial, it's just me. Can I have a business with just me? As Ben and I are driving one day, I ask him about when he first started his company.
Did you think that having your own business would be as lonely as it is?
No. I think when I thought about having a business, it was sort of idealized. I spent a lot of time, like, not enjoying myself, maybe. Or just also not enjoying working. Like, I think I spent a lot of time alone. And there's just a lack of energy and a lack of creativity that's sort of flowing around. I mean, I've told you, like, my ideal sort of future moment or something when I think of way down the line is like kicking it with a group of people you've made beautiful things together or accomplished some sort of goal, and you're just like kicking it on the porch and like laughing about all the cool stuff you guys did together. But, you know, like, I think, and you're like a family in that way.
Maybe that is something I'd like. When I think about the people who've helped me make Millennial, I think about Ben. Editing help to create this episode was provided by Ben Severance, but he has his own business to run, and he's getting really busy these days. Alex Kaplman, but he had to stop because he has his own show to take care of. And Dylan Ward, but he doesn't want to work in radio. He wants to be a screenwriter. When I think back to my conversation with Lauren, I realize I need a Phoebe. And that's what I tell Ben as we're driving in the car.
So as of right now, I just want to find like one, just like one good person, you know? And I don't know how to, I have to figure out how to do that. Because it's not like you can just go on these, like on random dating. It's not like Match.com, you know?
Business lesson number 5, build a team. How do you build that team? Talk to everyone you know.
Hey, Beck. I mean, you know, I'm like looking for an editor, and I don't know, like, people who want to be editors, you know, like.
Editors are magical beings.
This is Beck. She is the director of talent at the Association of Independents in Radio. She doesn't work for Match.com, but she is a matchmaker. For people in radio, at least. Mostly because she knows everybody and their mama in this industry.
So how much are you looking for?
Like, if I had to dream big, like, I'm looking for a soulmate, you know? Like,
what kind of editor style do you prefer?
I have a list.
Of characteristics?
Yeah. So... understands narrative-driven story structure and character development, can clearly communicate what parts of a story work and what parts don't, is honest, really believes a millennial, is accountable, brings new ideas to the show that I've never thought of, understands how to write to tape, enjoys editing, you know, someone who enjoys giving feedback, know when things are getting too cliche, is willing to call me out on that, like, and... kind of like understands radio in a way that I don't and is heartfelt and sincere.
Was I asking for too much? Does that person that I want even exist? Without taking a pause, Beck starts naming off names.
She's a producer. She has a station background.
She was a night fellow.
Super smart.
Very honest, but nurturing.
Yeah.
Oh, you know who it was? It was.
Hmm.
And she is more of an old school editor. He's a great editor, but he has way too much to do. And then I don't know if she's going to have time.
Yeah.
Maybe start with those names.
After I got off the phone, I go through Beck's list and I start Googling people, listening to their work, and seeing if they would be a good fit. But as I scroll through people's websites, all I'm thinking about is getting back to work so I can meet another deadline for the next episode. Business lesson number 6. Finding people to work with you is a job in itself. That's why HR people exist. After a few weeks of searching, I start working with a variety of editors. Some of them are my friends, some people I've met once, and some people I've never met at all. But I couldn't find anybody who really fit. Either their schedules are hectic, or they have their own projects they're working on, or they have a full-time job, or they were too nice. Too nice meaning they didn't give me the honest, I think this sucks and you can change it by doing this, kind of feedback that I want. I was thinking about making an online announcement that I'm looking for an editor to help with Millennial, but the problem is the position isn't really real. I mean, I don't have enough money to even consider paying someone full-time because I haven't made enough episodes. But in order to make episodes, I would need someone to almost be working full-time. Business lesson number 7. There are a lot of catch-22s. But then out of the blue, I receive an email from someone who reviews podcasts. Her name is Devin, and she writes for The Timbre. So I decided to set a time to talk to her.
Are you there?
I am here. Are you recording me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your feedback on, like, what do you think about the second season and if, you know, there's still other avenues that Millennial could, like, push. Yeah, I mean, I'm flattered that you're interested in hearing. I was really glad that you were looking at other people's stories. That said, I do think that, like, you're still the center of the show and the heart of the show. And so it's all about...
We end up talking on the phone for almost an hour about stories, characters, narration, what the show has been doing and what the show could do better.
Well, congrats again, and good luck with the rest of the season.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sure we'll talk.
All right.
Bye.
When I get off the phone, I wish I could have those types of conversations every day. I wish I could have someone helping me make this show and run this business. But I don't. Business lesson number 8. No one else will love your business or your projects as much as you do. Which means, at the end of the day, you're the one sitting in front of the computer. It's another late night. Ben's already gone to sleep, and I have one day before I release this episode.
Spending most of my savings makes me anxious. Spending most of my savings makes me anxious.
I'm reading the description out loud to myself 10 times and then 10 more times because I want to make sure nothing's misspelled. I've launched an episode in the past with a typo in the title because no one was there to proofread it. It's almost like those little things are what tell the world that I'm faking it. It's embarrassing. But if I had someone to work with, maybe there wouldn't be so many late nights, and I wouldn't have to be so worried. A few days later, Ben and I are taking a walk, and I tell him about the conversation I had with Devin. And he brings up an idea I hadn't even thought of.
Okay, what are you saying?
I was just saying that you can ask her, you know, to do some editing on a trial basis. If she's excited at the prospect of that, you could say, you know, I'm trying to build, you know, a team, and the other podcasts have teams, and I really want that.
Like, a team means paying people, like, consistently, though, right?
Well, that's what you're looking to do.
Yeah, but I can't give them enough to live on. Uh-huh. But I do think she's a good person to talk to. I do admire her, and I really like the way she writes. And she's a fan of the show, and she believes in its potential. Yeah. All these things are good things. All these things are the things that I wrote down and, like, the thing that I want in an editor. So I just have to ask her.
Business lesson number 9. Always ask. The worst thing they can say is no.
Supposed to be making sure the hawks don't eat the chickens.
Devin's spending some time at her family farm in New Jersey, and the fact that she's looking after animals for some reason put me at ease.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to record this conversation too, if that's okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
So I have a little proposition for you. And I just want to, it's kind of just like an idea, and you can give it some time to think about, but Millennial is looking for a new editor, and I just feel like you've been giving really solid suggestions from the very beginning. So, yeah.
It's funny you're calling today, because I was talking to my mom last night, and I was telling her how much I enjoyed our talk, and it was just so fun to talk about it, and I was telling her how you'd said the thing about consulting, and she's like,
Miss Entrepreneur, and she's like, that's what you have to do. And I was just like, it's just so fun to talk about this stuff and think about this stuff. So, I mean, I'm like completely delighted by this and flattered. And I would love to do this with you. I know I should tell you I'm going to go think about it, but like, I know I would love, I love your show. So it's just like, it would make so much sense for, you know, me to be helping you with it. I would love to.
Oh, that's awesome, Devin. Oh my goodness. Okay.
I can't believe she said yes.
You're excited. I don't understand why you're so excited.
Because I'm creating a team. I had to pitch it to her, you know, which I've never really done before.
That's good.
Yeah, it just feels like I'm sure how you felt when you brought someone on for the first time.
The next day, I'm so excited to get to work that I call Devin up and we immediately dive into the next episode.
I love Post-its too. Oh my God, we are soulmates. Post-its are my favorite, although I call them sticky notes. Okay, so first off,
this is a hot mess and I'm ready to talk about it.
It's a little bit of a hot mess, but you haven't actually established those conflicts yet. It has like different problems than the first one.
I was going to ask you about that. Well, this part, and I was like, oh, I like her.
Am I talking really fast with my coffee?
I'm so happy you're here to be like, that sucks. And I'm like, yes, thank you.
And we'll drink on the porch.
Woohoo, woohoo. Yes.
No, that's the ultimate goal.
Oh my gosh, I can't wait.
Devin and I have been working together for 4 weeks, and I've been working by myself for 11. It's safe to say that this is the very beginning of the millennial business, and nothing is perfect. I still have my own lessons to learn, and I imagine that list will never stop growing. I don't want to end this episode by saying I know what I'm doing now, because I don't. Which brings me to our last business lesson. Business lesson number 10, fake it till you make it. And once you make it, it'll probably feel like you're still faking it. And that's okay. Editing help for this episode was provided by Devin Taylor. Yay! Special thanks to Beck Feldhaus Adams, Chuck Severance, Ben Severance, and Lauren Spohr. We would also like to thank our sponsor, Squarespace. Squarespace, share your ideas with the world by making a blog, portfolio, or online store. Start building your website today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code MILLENNIAL, 2 L's, 2 N's at checkout to get 10% off. To keep tabs on the next episode of Millennial, follow us on Twitter at Millennial, MILLENNIAL, PDCST. Like podcasts without the vowels, or on Facebook. If you want to send the show a shout out, rate us on iTunes. And if you have any story pitches, I'm all ears. Just send an email to stories@millennialpodcast.org. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening.